Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. We have a special guest down from Missouri. Pete had to come down, and we're talking to him about all kinds of stuff, fishing, catching. Those are the two things, I guess, we only care about.
That's so, right.
Pete, tell them about your guide service, who you are. And
Well, I've been guiding on Table Rock Lake since probably 1991. I've been in Missouri since 1986. And I fished a lot of regional tournaments. I fished the Bassmaster Opens. Years ago, I qualified for the top 150s, which is now the elites. I fished them for a couple years, fished the FLWs. But mainly, I'm just guiding now and fishing a little bit of regional stuff.
And you're guiding on Table Rock?
Mainly Table Rock, yes.
Yep. And you're fishing for the big three, the spotted bass, largemouth, and smallmouth?
Yeah, I mean, Table Rock, you know, Beaver here as well, which is right here in our backyard. But, right. I mean, these Ozark lakes are phenomenal. But, you know, Table Rock especially, because it's got the, to me, it's got the quality smallmouth, largemouth, and spots, where, like, Lake of the Ozarks is predominantly largemouths, Truman predominantly largemouths. And, you know, Beaver's a really good lake. It's come back over the years. But it seems like we've got a little bit bigger spots and smallmouths on Table Rock.
You do. You have bigger spots. Yeah. I mean, the Game and Fish Commission actually increased the number of Kentuckys you could keep because they know they have a stunted spotted bass population. All the big, when they get big, they jump over to your end of the lake and then they...
You know, and I don't know, I'm not a fisheries biologist, but I've got to believe that that 12-inch length limit helps because, you know, Beaver has a 12-inch on spotted bass, Bull Shoals does, Table Rock is 15 inches, but you see far better quality spots on Table Rock. And, you know, I've got to think that that 12-inch length limit has got to help that, you know.
I would think so. So let's run through... some of the seasons, if someone was to book a trip, give them an idea, like, what, how would you fish in, say, like, we'll do it right now, in the wintertime, how would you go out there and guide?
And I do quite a few trips. Matter of fact, I did a trip last week. I do quite a few in the wintertime, especially for people wanting to catch quality fish. Now's the time to catch big fish. Now, a lot of times you're not going to get that many bites, but, you know, the early... The first few months, like February and March, to me, are the big month, the big fish months, you know, where you get opportunity to catch, you know, 6, 7, maybe even 8-pound fish. And, you know, it used to be before the A-rig, it was predominantly a jerkbait deal, you know. But now the it still is a jerkbait deal, but, you know, the A-rig's kind of hard to beat, you know. I kind of hate to throw. I get tired of throwing it sometimes because it makes you kind of one-dimensional. Like, if you're competing in a tournament, it seems like if you're not throwing the A-rig, chances are you're going to get beat, you know? But, you know, A-rig, little swim bait, and jerk bait's really good bait to throw right now.
Yep. And so let's go into spring. If someone was to book a trip in spring, how would you go about catching the fish then?
You know, usually I try to customize all my trips for the customer because that's what it's all about. It's, you know, and I try to feel them out to see what they're trying to get out of the trip. Sometimes people are wanting to learn a certain technique. And, you know, if they want to learn how to fish a jerkbait, for instance, if that's the time of year and I think I can get, we can get bid on it, that's what we'll key on. If it's a certain area of the lake that they maybe fish all the time or they live by, we'll try to key on that area if I feel I can get them bit there. A lot of times they'll just leave it up to me and say, you know, we'll go to where they're biting the best. So then we'll hook up and meet. If it's a long distance from where they're staying, we'll meet by land and trailer over to where the area we're going to fish.
That takes us into summer. Summertime, probably lots of tourism coming in, Branson area. How do you take them fishing then? Do you do some drop shotting with live?
Yeah, we do a lot of drop
shotting. Night crawlers?
I do very few night crawlers. I don't have anything against it, but... you know, over the years, I've got a pretty strong clientele. And what I really enjoy doing more than anything is teaching. So I seem to get a lot of the people that have used guides in the past that just don't want to go out and drop night crawlers. They want right. to learn how to catch them on artificial. Now, there's nothing wrong with night crawlers because you're going to catch twice as many fish.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, just as big. But, you know, sometimes people get tired of that and they want to do something a little different. We'll do a lot of drop shotting.
Uh-huh.
Depends how busy the lake is. But, you know, summertime on Table Rock, as is with Beaver, it's one of the best shallow water times. You know, if you get up into the creek arms where there's fresh water coming in, there's oxygen, there's no need for them fish to be out there in 30, 35 feet. And you go where there isn't 35 feet of water, the thermocline's right. a lot shallower. You know, it can be some really good square bill flipping depending on the water level.
And that takes us, I guess we've already done winter. That pretty much, how about in the fall? Fall is probably pretty phenomenal.
To me, fall is pretty tough, you know.
Oh.
September to me is good
September.
Because it's a good transition.
Right.
But October and November, I think, can be a couple of toughest months until it cools down.
Right.
The fish are kind of in a transition. And it's all about shad. It's all about the bait fish. But, you know, right. October, one day you can catch them on buzzbait and whopper plopper and 2 to 5 feet of water. Next day you go back to the same area, maybe a little bit different weather conditions, and you can't buy a bite, and you got to go out there. What happens that time, you know, that thermocline breaks up, so the oxygen level, there's no certain specific place the fish have to be. They can be right. from 2 foot to 50 foot, and it's all about finding the groups of bait. And then November and December, to me, is phenomenal, you know.
Right. It comes back around then.
Yeah, the fish start. Consistent. The fish start. You got two groups of fish. You got deep fish and you got shallow fish.
Uh-huh.
Now, our shallow fish this year, you know, the water temperature stayed a lot warmer a lot later. So we really didn't get into a good crankbait bite till December, you know, late December.
Right.
Where normally that'll start around Thanksgiving. But we had a really good deep bite and, you know, extremely deep, you know, anywhere from 40 to 60 foot. And they're not just spots. That's where a lot of the bigger largemouth were, wow. way out there deep, and smallmouths.
Yeah, that's pretty deep. That's getting down there.
Yeah.
Old river man like me, I don't even know if I have that much line on
that
my poles.
That much line on you, yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of different baits we use, but, you know, a lot of swim baits. In the wintertime, fall, it's like a Rapala ice fishing jig,
uh-huh.
Jig and spoons. I throw a lot of, like, a big bite. Jerk minnow,
right.
which is like a little tamaki bait with a, you know, grub head.
Uh-huh.
And we'll throw some heavy ones, too, where them fish go that deep. If you know, we don't do it all on spinning rods. If we're throwing it on spinning rods, we'll throw a quarter ounce or 3/8. But we'll go right. from a 5/8 to a 1 ounce head with a 4-inch or 5-inch bait. There's a few companies out there, Big Bites, one of them, that's got a... Yeah. True X head that's a 5/8 ounce head, but it's got a real small hook in it. The problem a lot of times you get a 5/8 head on something and the hook is so
yeah.
big it dwarfs the bait, you know.
Right.
So that allows you to throw it on a bait caster, you know, 12-pound line if you're not comfortable throwing
right.
a lot of that stuff on spinning rod.
Well, you brought some baits, so you should probably talk about them. Show us
yeah,
some of those baits.
I did not bring any Damiki the baits, but you know, what I brought, like, in the springtime, to me, a couple of the main baits to throw is, you know, swim baits and Ned rigs.
Right.
I mean, it's just hard to beat. A little swim bait and...
Show it to them right up there.
Yeah.
So these are the small baits that you were talking about, like swim baits that...
yeah, and we'll upsize depending on the shad, but I throw a lot of... Like a Big Bite Pro Swimmer.
Right.
But, you know, a Kai Tech will work. Bass Pro's got their brand, a Speed Shad.
Yep.
But I like a, you know, a 2.8 or a 3.3, and there's a couple different ways I'll rig it. And then there's the old standby we threw for years, which is
just a
smoke grub with red flake.
Yeah.
You know, and it's got I've got a quarter ounce head on it, and I'll usually throw it on spinning gear. But you can fish this bait from 2 foot to... 60 foot, you know, it just
right.
depends how much patience you have. Another one I throw, you know, another bait that's become real popular is a Ned rig.
Right.
And this is a Ned head that Five Fish Lures makes, which I helped design. Five fish lures is myself, Brian Snowden, Bassmaster Elite Fisherman, and Bobby Albert, a regional fisherman.
Uh-huh.
We've teamed up together, and we've got some different jigs, shaky heads, but this Ned rig's a little unique. It's like a pyramid-shaped head where most of the other heads are mushroom heads.
Right, yep.
And we've got a little wire weed guard on it. And how I came up with this, when the Ned rig kind of took off, I was using just, you know, a lot of ball heads and mushroom heads and whatever was available. Right. Problem was they got hung up so much. So I started taking ball head jigs and filing them down and then made a mold for them and was giving them to my guide buddies. And before I knew it, everybody wanted them. So we went into, you know, production making them. But we've got them in a 16th, 8th ounce, 3/16 and a quarter.
Uh-huh.
And it's a pretty versatile head. We just don't use it for the Ned rig if you're throwing like this a little 2.8.
Right.
It's got a little wire weed guard on it. If you don't like the weed guard, you can just snip it off. But it works real well when you're trying to catch suspended fish in timber with the little weed guard. Helps you from getting hung up.
Table Rock, like Beaver and Bull Shoals, has a lot of standing timber.
A lot of standing timber. In the springtime, the fish are huge for suspending. Because they're coming up out of that deep water and they're not relating to the bottom.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times they're over deep water, but they're not deep. You know, they're 8 to 15 foot. And that's where, you know, a little grub, a little swim bait, because you can figure out where the fish are in your electronics, drop it down to that depth and, you know, swim it through that zone.
Right.
Some days they'll be on the bottom. You can take the little swim bait and we call it scratching the bottom.
Uh-huh.
We'll just cast it out till it hits bottom, just barely reel. Every once in a while, stop, let it go down the bottom. It's a pretty simple way for, you know, especially for kids. Because the fish just load up on it, and all you got to do is lean back, and, you know, it's got a really sharp hook, reel a little faster. But something else we've done with the Ned rig, or what I've done with the 16th ounce.
Right.
A lot of times, like Beaver, when the water gets high, you're flipping a jig in the bushes or Cinco.
Right.
And with this 16th ounce head, it gives me a little bit of weight where I can throw it like on 16 pound, sun line on a bait caster and get down and penetrate. And this, you know, we used to take and slide an O-ring onto the Cinco.
Right.
Well, this is a pretty slick little deal. It's called a Nico rig that Big Bite makes, and it's got the O-ring built into the.
Oh, look at that.
Built into the worm, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the reason you do that is so you don't lose, you know, we'd put an O-ring on there so we wouldn't lose so many baits, you know.
Yeah.
But then we'll fish, like a finesse jig quite a bit.
Yeah, you're on Table Rock. You're going to have a 5/16 ounce.
Yeah. We've got a little 5/16 ounce. Yep. We call it a finesse jig. It's a half skirt.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'll use like a... striking baby rage craw for a trailer or little college craw, big bite. You know, it's similar to like a critter craw.
Right.
A lot of times I'll take and shorten up the bait and make a little bit smaller profile bait. But we've got these in 5/16, 7/16, and 9/16 to fish a little bit deeper.
Oh, there you go.
And then if the water's up, now the finesse jig, we've got another one called the cover jig. Okay, the finesse jig, it's got the pyramid style head.
Right.
Real similar to like the Ned rig. And this, enables you to come through brush and rock. It's kind of a combination. It's great around boat docks. It's great for fishing open rock. And it's good for some light brush. But where it's a finesse jig, we've got a pretty light weed guard in it, you know, for fishing 12-pound line or whatever. The real heavy brush, we've got another jig. It's called a cover jig, and it's designed just for thick stuff. It's got a custom hook in it, a little stiffer weed guard, and a flat head, which is really essential, similar to like the old Larky jigs and stuff for skipping. Flipping underneath walkways, skipping it under them.
Uh-huh.
And we make this up to 3/4 ounce. You know, a lot of times.
Pretty big size jig.
I'll throw this instead of the football jig.
Right.
Because we all know when you're fishing brush piles,
yeah,
I don't care whose football jig it is, just the design of the head.
They get hung up.
They get hung up a bunch. So with the pyramid style head, it comes through the brush real well. And you know, Brian designed this jig, and what he did is he wanted the jig where he fishes all over the country.
Right.
He didn't want to have 100 different jigs. He wanted a jig he could fish boat docks, one that he could flip heavy cover with. And he kind of designed it a lot for fishing the cedar trees, you know, here in the Ozarks. You know, comes through them real well.
Right.
But, you know, then you got your crankbaits, you know, rock crawlers, wiggle warts, which the Ozark lakes are famous for, and the jerk baits. Water starts getting a little warmer. When that water gets up around 50 degrees, I'll have a topwater bait on the boat all
year. Is there a particular one that's real popular or probably that you throw more than others?
Well, you know, there's two pretty popular ones here in the Ozark Lakes, and one is a, you know, a jointed redfin, which Cotton Cordell makes, and, you know, Berkeley makes a real good one. It's called a, what is that, Lightning Shed or
something like that.
Yeah, but anyways, it comes right out of the package, got good hooks on it, runs real well. The Cotton Cordells, we had to change the hooks on them. Heat the bills up and bend them, and basically what that is, it's a jointed, like a jointed Rapala,
right?
And it just walks on the top real slow. Now, my favorite topwater bait is
I'm going to cut that all out, so no one's going to get to see that part. So anything you said there, it doesn't work. Yeah. What else you got?
my favorite topwater bait is a walking bait. You know, like a spook. I don't throw a spook very much anymore because there's a lot of other companies that have come out with baits, cigar-type walking baits with three hooks. And I'm a big fan of three treble hooks on a walking bait. Now, some of the old spooks, the Jimmy Houston specials, you know, they had, you can't find them anymore, but they used to have three hooks.
Right.
I still have some of them, but I just like walking the dog, you know, and a Strike King sexy dog to me is it's a real easy bait to walk.
Right.
And I'll throw both. They got three sizes, but I'll throw the regular size and then a baby one.
All right.
And, you know, my favorite colors, I've got about every color there is, but
it's
pretty simple. It's bone.
Yeah.
You know, wider bone, you know, and sides are all wore out from the hooks slashing on the sides. And
that's when you know it's a good one.
Yeah, I've got a lot of baits like that. You know, Brian Snowden, my buddy of mine that I fish with a lot, he's real particular when he designs a bait. And he'll look at some of my tackle sometimes, some of my jerk baits, you know, the paint's all gone off the side. But a lot of times it's a certain bait that for some reason has got it just runs a little bit better than the next one, you know. And those are my favorites, my go-tos when the money's on the line.
All right. So if someone shows up to go on a trip, what do you offer? Do they need to bring their own tackle, their food? What life jackets? Tell us what.
Yeah,
what they
basically,
need to do.
All they have to do is show up with a fishing license.
Okay.
And I usually always talk to them the night before, so we can get a game plan of what time we're going to go out. And if it looks like there's going to be foul weather, suggest they bring rain gear. I supply, you know, bottled water.
Okay.
Anything else they want to drink or eat. And as far as their own equipment, normally if they're novice anglers, I like to leave their stuff at home because they usually show up with a line that's been on there for 2 years, and they'll show up with a 12 or 14 pound line on an open face spinning reel that comes off like a slinky toy.
Right.
But a lot of times if people got a new rod and reel set up, and or if they do fish quite a bit and they're more comfortable with their gear, I have them bring theirs.
Okay.
You know, I've got a big boat, so I've got plenty of room. Most all my stuff is no older than a year old as far as rods and reels.
Right.
So
what are you running? What are you running for a boat now?
I'm running a Z21 XL boat. Nitro.
Okay.
I've been running nitros probably 8 or 10 years.
Okay.
I ran Rangers before that and Champions before that.
All right. Okay, well, that works. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. And besides all the tackle he talked about there, Pico Lures also makes some jig heads, and they also have some hard plastics that If you go and look them up online, you can see that they have a whole line of lures for a bass. But they also have a whole bunch of crappie lures, too. So if you're getting the hankering to go out there and go crappie fishing, check them out at picolures.com. And our other show sponsor, of course, is Smith Consumer Products. And I brought in their combo, so they have this cool little combo set where
that's pretty
has
slick,
clippers
yeah.
and everything you can put like right in your boat, like on the clip, or you can put it on your belt. Yep, on your belt and have your pliers and everything just real handy. And you can find all their products, and they have lots of them at smithproducts.com. If they want to, Pete, get in touch with you and go fishing and maybe learn a whole bunch of stuff on catching bass, where would they go?
Easiest way is go to hookedonbass.com.
Okay.
And that's my website. Or you can contact me on my cell phone, which is 417-860-8163. Also, you can go to Table Rock Lake Fishing. That's our website. And then my personal website, which is Pete Winters on Facebook.
Okay.
But you just pretty much just Google my name and it'll come up somewhere.
There you go. Well, we appreciate you being on the show. And I always like to end the show with make sure you keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.
Thanks for having me, Brad. Appreciate it.